Morning. Today's Daf and Yuma, Daf Nun Aleph. We're on back on Daf Nun. We are in the middle of a discussion of the Gemara regarding the categorization of the par of Aaron HaKohen. And for that matter, any Kohen Gadol who's doing the Avodah Yom Kippur. We know when the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah Yom Kippur, so he has two karbanos that he brings from his own money. He has to pay for these karbanos. So one of them is the aisle. The aisle is brought as a karbanola, and the other one is the par. And the par serves as a bull, which the Torah describes as a chatas. So it will provide a kapara. We already know, we've gone through the fourth parak of Yuma, so we already know that he does vidui on the par, and the par therefore provides a kapara not only for him, but for all the kohanim as well. And so what category do we put this carbon under? Do we put it under the carbon yachid or the carbon sibor? So the, and you're going to see the answer is going to be none of the above. Right, correct. But the does the carbon go as a carbon yachid or as a carbon sibor? So the argument to say that it's a carbon yachid is a very easy argument. The argument that it's a carbon yachid is he pays for it. So usually in life you follow the money. So if we're not dipping into the if we're not dipping into the public monies for this carbon, so one can make a very simple argument: it's not the carbon's, not the Seber's carbon. So the fact that he has to go out, reach out of his pocket. In fact, we're going to see later this morning on today's daf that he can't even collect from the other kohanim, meaning he has to pay for the carbon on his own. So if all we're going to do is just simply follow the money, so the money will dictate that it's a carbon yachid, it's an individual carbon. So that's one argument that we could say that it's a carbon yachid. On the other hand, what's the argument that we could say it's a carbon sibor? So we can make this argument in a couple of ways. Number one, it provides a kapar for all the kohanim. Okay, in other words, as we know, the vidui speaks to this idea. When he does the vidui, he says, I'm going to provide a kapar for myself, for my family, and for all the kohanim. So this provides a kapar for all the kohanim. So that's one. Two, another way we could argue that it's a carbon sibor is that despite the fact that he pays for it, but he, as a Kohen Gadol, is no longer serving as an individual. He's serving as a representative for the entire Jewish people. And the fact of the matter is that in order for him to function on Yom Kippur as a Kohen Gadol, so he needs the par. The par is just simply an elemental ingredient that is part of the entire Yom Kippur package, the entire day. So without the par, he's simply not going to be able to function as a Kohen Gadol. So even though, yes, the money is coming from him, but in terms of the benefit of the carbon, so it applies to the entire Klal Yisrael. So again, they're not getting a kapara through this animal, but the animal's part of the yom, part of the avodas hayom. So therefore, maybe we could argue that's a carbon sibor. So is it a carbon yachid or is it a carbon sibor? Okay, what difference does it make? Why do we care? I mean, the carbon's required. So put it whatever category you want. So it helped us respond to a question that we asked yesterday. Yesterday's Daf Nun, so the Gemara was bothered by a very simple question. The Gemara related a scenario in which Kohen Gadol died, and we replaced him with a new Kohen Gadol, on Yom Kippur. And to be even more specific, he died after having already shechted the par, and so now the next Kohen Gadol is going to come in and just going to take over from there, without having to bring his own par. And the Gemara says, does that work or does that not work? And the Gemara brought down a machlokus amarayim. But let's say, just for the purpose of this discussion, it works. He can step in. And even though all he has is the blood of the bull, that's enough. That's the damu shel par is considered par. Good. But then the Gemara asked on Daf Nun, yesterday's Daf, but I don't understand. The par is a carbon chatas. And the chatas was bought by the previous Kohen. And the previous Kohen is unfortunately no longer with us. So this is a chatas shemesu ba'aleha. The owner of this carbon chatas is dead. And generally speaking, we have a rule that a chatas shemesu ba'aleha is one of the five chatas amesos. It's one of the five carbon chatases that's put to death. It's discarded. How can we even have a discussion where the second Kohen Gadol is going to be using the par of the first Kohen Gadol when the par of the first Kohen Gadol is in fact a chatas amesa? It's a chatas that needs to be discarded.
But didn't you say that he shechted already the par?
It's good he shechted, but the zrikas adam hasn't been done yet. And the second Kohen Gadol now is going to be zorik dam of a chatas that whose owner died. You can't do that. So that was the Gemara's question yesterday. So the answer could be, as we saw yesterday, well, if this is not a carbon yachid, but it's a carbon sibor, so there is a thought amongst the Tanayim that there's a difference between a carbon yachid and a carbon sibor. The rules of chatos amesos only apply to a carbon yachid. The rules of carbon of chatos amesos doesn't apply to a carbon sibor. So if we could take the par of Yom Kippur and categorically put it as a carbon sibor, not as a carbon yachid, so we have a resolution to our problem. Fine. That was what the Gemara said yesterday. But then, as we went through the Gemara yesterday, we noted to argue that the par of Yom Kippur is a carbon seber is a difficult argument. There are brises that we went through yesterday, we covered on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, which basically say that it's a carbon yachid. Brise at the bottom of the Amud that also unclear exactly what it was. So the Gemara came to a resolution yesterday, and this is how we concluded yesterday. Either we'll say that it's a carbon yachid, which is really what we don't want to say, meaning that's what we want to avoid. Because then we end up with a question, and we don't have an answer to the question of how then could the second Kohen Gadol use it. So that's one option. Or another option, the Gemara says on the bottom of Nun Amud Aleph, is that maybe it's not a carbon yachid, it's a carbon shutfus. It's a carbon that's owned in partnership. Well, who are the partners of the carbon? The Kohanim. The Kohanim are now multiple owners of this carbon. Now, it's difficult, and we'll try to understand a little bit better over the course of this morning. If he's paying for it, so how could you say it's a partnership? Partnership is usually represented by shares. Shares usually represented by money. So in other words, I'll say we're a partner if I invested and you invested. But if I'm the sole investor, so hard to say that other people involved are considered partners in the carbon. But fine, that's an issue, and we'll try to discuss that later on. But in the meantime, however, let's just say that there's a partnership, and the Kohanim are partners over that. That also will help us. And how will that help us? Because the idea of chatzos and meisos only apply to a carbon that is a yachid, only when there's a sole proprietor of the carbon. But if it's a b'shutfus, if there's a partnership over the carbon, so then there is no problem. Then the carbon is not subject to the rules of chatzos and meisos. Okay, and the Gemara asked and they answered, and we're just going to go over this, and then we'll pick it up from where we left off yesterday. What's the difference? Meaning, okay, it's a carbon shutfus, it's not a carbon seabor. When all said and done, aren't we basically saying the same thing? Meaning, it's not a private carbon, it's a public carbon. All right, so it's not a public carbon, it's a partnership carbon. It sounds a lot like semantics, meaning what difference does it make? So the Gemara notes, no, there is a basic difference, and as we pointed out yesterday, the Rishonim note that there are other differences as well. But the difference that the Gemara points to is the fact that the Kohanim are a group, but not a tzibur. They don't act as a tzibur. L'mayin afkamina, the Gemara says, on the very bottom of the Amud, for example, Hora'ah. Let's say there was an erroneous ruling by Beis Din, and the Kohanim, as a group, follow the erroneous ruling of Beis Din. So usually when you have a community following the erroneous ruling of Beis Din, so they bring a special carbon. The carbon's called Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur. We've been talking about that the past couple days. So if the Kohanim were to violate the Torah based on an erroneous ruling of the Beis Din, they don't bring this carbon. They're treated as individuals, not as a unit, not as a group. And the Gemara notes that wouldn't be true by Shevet, meaning if I have Ephraim, Menashe, meaning any one of the Shvatim that live in Eretz Yisrael, if they violate and this are based on the ruling of the Beis Din, they're going to bring a Par Helem Davar Shel Tzibur, because a Shevet is considered a Tzibur. But the group of Kohanim are not considered Tzibur. Now, why not? So I pointed out yesterday to Rashi. So Rashi says it's a function of land. You take a look at the last Rashi in Nun Amud Aleph, and you take a look at the last lines of the Rashi. So Rashi says, why are they not a Shevet? So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Horios. Shevet Echad Ikre Kahal. Kohanim Vadai Lav Ikre Kahal. So one tribe is considered a Kahal, but not the group of Kohanim. Even though the group of Kohanim can be viewed as a unit, but it's not a kahal. Why not? Ela osam shenatlu nachla. Only those that get a nachla, a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Kohanim don't get a nachla. You can make the argument, debatable. Levim don't get a nachla. Right? What do Levim get? They get federal property. Right? They're sitting on federal land. But they don't get their own portion of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they're not subject to this rules of kahal. Fine. Okay, Adkan, that's basically what we said yesterday. That takes us all the way through yesterday's daf, although we're not finished yet. We're on the very bottom of Nun Amud Aleph, and we continue.
What's the scenario with the blood? The Konshet, he does the Kabbalahs, right?
Yeah.
He dies.
Remember, what happens after the...
He just takes the first part.
Well, after the Kabbalah Saddam, so then he hands it off to somebody else. Oh, so somebody else will stir it.
Okay, so
and then over the course... Because remember, there are things that are done after after the Shechita Sapar. The selection of the Se'irim and the Chafina. Okay. Okay, Adkan. The Adkan meaning that takes us up to where we got it to yesterday, and we continue. Tashma Debai Rebbe El Azar. Okay, the Gemara now is pursuing this discussion regarding what is the category of the par. So, Ledivrei Amar Par Yom Kippur Karban Yachid, according to the one who says that the par of Yom Kippur is a Karban Yachid, Osa Tamura or Ain't Osa Tamura. So, can it affect Tamura? Can it not affect Tamura? Again, nobody wants to do this. Meaning, remember, the making of a Tamura, exchanging an animal, transferring the Kedusha for one Karban to another, it's a lav. It's a negative prohibition in the Torah. However, it's effective, it works. So can the par of Yom Kippur affect Tamura, cannot affect Tamura? Now, rule number one regarding Tamura, Tamura can only be done with a Karban Yachid. It cannot be done with a Karban Tzibur, cannot be done with a Karban Shutfus, it has to be sole proprietor Karban. Fine. So, the Gemara wants to know, let's assume, like the one who says that the par of Yom Kippur is a Karban Yachid, let's assume that way, can it or can it not affect the Tamura? So, the way we're even phrasing the question, the Gemara just catches the language of the question. Lav mechlal dikal manda amar tzibur. So if you were saying that, let's ask the question according to him, so that means that there's another him, there's another Tana, and that other Tana must be against the idea that the par of Yom Kippur is a Karban Yachid. Well, what are my options? If it's not a Karban Yachid, what is it? It must be Karban Tzibur. The Gemara says, no, there's a third option, which we just learned. So the Gemara says, no, there's a third option, meaning there's Yachid, there's Tzibur, and in the middle, there's a Shutfim, and that's what we've been saying, and that's what we continue to say, that the part of Yom Kippur is, if not a Karban Yachid, it's a Karban Shutfim. It's a partnership. Gufa, the Gemara says, okay, let's spend a little bit more time now on this question that the Gemara just asked. By Rabbi Allah, can it affect a Tamura? Can it not affect a Tamura? So, my kami ba'ilei. So, the Gemara says, can we try to understand what the question even is? Because, ibasar maktish aslinan, ibasar miskaper aslinan. Because, look, let's say right now, again, I know we've been shifting back and forth over the course of yesterday and today, but right now, let's say the par is a Karban Yachid. Okay, let's say it's a private Karban. Okay, that's, again, as we pointed out in the beginning of today's shiur. It's an easy argument. It's one which, you know, it's easy to defend. And right now, let's call it a Karban Yachid. It's an individual Karban. Can it or can it not affect Tamura? So the Gemara says, well, what is the question really? Meaning, what does the question reduce down to? It basically comes down to the following. I have a Karban which is owned by one individual, i.e. the Kohen Gadol, but it provides kapara for who? For a group of people. Meaning it provides kapara for the Kohanim. So the ownership of the Karban is one person, but the effect of the Karban, the totsa, the result of the Karban, is that it affects multiple people. So now, I have a Karban which, if I looked at it from one way, it's individual, but if I looked at it from another way, it actually is multiple. It applies to multiple people. So in the question of does this Karban affect Tamura or not, so the question is, do we follow the Maktish, the one who sanctified it, the owner of the Karban, or the Miskaper, or the people who are benefiting from it? So which one for Tamura purposes is more significant? So the Gemara says, well, do you remember what we learned in Masechta Tamura? And if the answer is no, that's fine. I mean, it's better if we remembered, obviously, but tomorrow was a long time ago. So the Gemara says, we know that we follow the Miskaper. We follow the people who get benefit from it, who are getting an atonement from this Karban. That's what we follow. So if those who get atoned is just one person, vis-a-vis Tamura, it's a Karban Yachid. If those who are atoned are multiple people, vis-a-vis Tamura, it's not a Karban Yachid. So the Gemara says, and how do I know this? Based on a statement by Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan makes three statements. A Maktish Mosif Chomish. Statement number one, the Maktish adds a Chomish. Meaning, we have a halacha that if you Maktish something, if you sanctify something, and then you're going to redeem it. Now obviously we're not talking about a Karban. Karban is not redeemable. But let's say the Karban develops a blemish. That would be one instance where the Karban is redeemable. Or anytime you take something out of the hands of Hekdesh. What's the basic rule? If the owner is the one redeeming, he's got to have, there's a surcharge. A surcharge of what the Gemara refers to as chomish, but as we know time and again, it's really 25%. Okay, 25% is added. So let's say that which I was makdish is valued at $100, and I want to redeem it, meaning the owner. An owner over here defined by the makdish, the one who sanctified it. So then I have to add another $25, $125 to redeem it. If somebody else wants to redeem it, first, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash will go to me, because that, you know, a bigger gain for them. But if I don't want to redeem it, so then they'll go to somebody else, and somebody else will just redeem it at its value. Fine.
It's only for your feet.
And, well, yeah, in other words, correct. This is, right, something that belonged to an individual. So, Amachish Mosif Chomish. V'hamiskaper osa batmura. Now, who's the one affecting tamura? The miskaper. So, that means to say that, let's say I need to bring a carbon. I don't have the money. I don't have the funds. Somebody sponsors my carbon, or even if I have the money, but somebody wants to be nice and sponsor my carbon. Fine. So, I have a sponsor. So, someone paid for my carbon. Who can affect tamura? Me. Meaning the one benefiting from the atonement of the karban. Meaning in the world of Temura, the controller of Temura is the one who is gaining atonement from this particular karban. And finally, let's say two farmers side by side, and one farmer says to the other, look, can you handle my trumas and maisas for me? Meaning basically, pay my taxes. Okay? In other words, why not? Meaning... why not? I'm just saying, can you do it? And the person agrees, no problem at all. Fine. So he pays now. I said taxes because they're just giving us a way to think about it, a framework to think about it. But Chumas and Maisos, yes, it's a tax, but it doesn't go to government. It goes to people. Goes to Levim. It goes to Kohanim. Now, which Levim, which Kohanim? My decision. I get to decide which one it goes to. The power of allocation is valuable. It has a value to it. Anytime you can determine where monies are going to go to, that's what the Gemara refers to as Tovas Hana'ah, and that obviously has a value. Think about the amount of money you can receive on the on the back end, you know, get a kickback in terms of determining which one's going to go to. And under certain terms, under certain circumstances in halacha, you're actually allowed to get a kickback for deciding which Kohen it's going to go to, which Levi it's going to go to. Kickback can't go directly from the Kohen or from the Levi. It has to be a matana, it has to be a gift. But if another family member wants to, you know, wants to try to, you know, I was going to say bribe you, but I was looking for another word other than bribe. But basically, I mean, to say it is, right, correct, to consider. Right, if another family member wants to give a consideration, so fine, anyway. Good. So this is what's called Tovas Hana'ah. It's a consideration, basically. So so who can make that determination? Who can make that decision? So again, two farmers side by side, and one farmer says, you know, I'll take off Trumas and Maestros for your produce. I'll pay your Trumas and Maestros for my field. You could do that. I, the one taking off Trumas and Maestros, am the one who is allowed to determine Tovas Hana'ah. I can dictate who is going to go to, who is going to be the recipient of the Trumas and Maestros. So, what do you see? In other words, so statement numbers 1 and 3 are important, but not for our discussion. For our discussion, statement number 2 of Rabbi Yochanan, which we are really going to focus on, that vis-a-vis Temura, who's the one who we need to look at vis-a-vis Temura? The Makdish or the Miskaper? The one sanctifying the animal or the one benefiting from the atonement of the animal? The answer is B. The one benefiting from the atonement, the Miskaper. So the Gemara says, so now let's think about this. So now we're asking about the par of Yom Kippur. The par Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now, who's being makdishit? Kohen Gadol. It's coming out of his own money. Who's getting atonement from this carbon?
Kohanim.
All the Kohanim. So vis-a-vis Temura, shouldn't this not even be a discussion? What are we even discussing now? Can we affect Temura? Can we not affect Temura? Look, you're right. The animal is the sole proprietary animal. The Kohen Gadol is buying the animal out of his own pocket. But in terms of kapara, all the Kohanim are getting a kapara from this carbon. So shouldn't it be obvious that it can't affect Temura? Because Temura can only be affected only if one person's getting kapara. Once you have more than one person receiving kapara, the animal cannot affect the Temura. So, what's the discussion even about? La'olam mi'pshita le'debasa miskaper aslin. So the Gemara says, you're right. We're going to follow the miskaper, and we still get to ask the question. Why? V'hachi kami b'ayle, echav ha-kohanim, b'kviyusa mitkapre, odilma b'kufya mitkapre. And so the Gemara says, how the other Kohanim receive a kapara is at the core issue over here. Either the Gemara gives us two options. How are the Kohanim getting a kapara of the par, of the Kohen Gadol? either be kviusa. Kviusa from the word keva, which means established. What does that mean in this context? It means that they are partners in the karban. Now, that does not mean they're going to reach into their pocket and actually pay for the karban. It simply means that the Kohen Gadol, knowing that this par has to serve as a kapar for all the Kohanim, he's going to be makne. He's going to, right, financially give over of this karban to all the others. He's going to be the sponsor for all the other Kohanim. Period. So in other words, it's viewed as a regular partnership. Now, granted that they didn't actually buy their shares, but they were gifted their shares from the Kohen Gadol. If that's the way we're going to view it, so then answer to the question of Temura is, Temura cannot be affected from this karban, because the Miskaper are the group of Kohanim. That's one way to view it. What's another way to view it? The Gemara refers to, the language of the Gemara is, Bekufya Mitkapre. Kufya is a difficult word in the context of this Gemara. Rashi attempts to explain the word. If you take a look at Rashi says to be floating on the top. And Rashi cites a couple of examples where we have the word kufya mean to be floating on the top. But basically in this context it means like this. Do you know who the par is really serving as a kapar for? The Kohen Gadol. Period. Now all the other Kohanim are going to get a kapara, but only through the Kohen Gadol. This is hard to explain and certainly hard to understand. It's obviously a very difficult concept. But this idea is that really there's only one miskaper of the karban, and that's the Kohen Gadol. And then, yes, all the other Kohanim are getting kapara, but only through the Kohen Gadol. Okay? The idea sounds very Hasidish, but that's right, correct. Right, Rashi, if you take a look at Rashi, Ein kaparas and kvua bo, elat safa agav kaparas Kohen Gadol. They're not receiving a kapara, it's floating all through the Kohen Gadol. Kadavar atzafa pnei amayim ve'ena karban nikra al shmam v'karban yachid hu. Rashi says the karban is not related to the other Kohanim, it really is fundamentally the Kohen Gadol's karban. Fine. And somehow the Yotze with this karban. Good. So if this is the two ways to look at it, so now this affects the issue of Temura. So if the karban is a karban shutfus, meaning that they're all receiving a portion of the karban, that's bikviyusa. So then that means then that it cannot affect Temura, because Temura can only come when there is one owner of the karban and one miskaper of the karban. But if the Kohen Gadol is the one owning the karban and the one getting the kapara from the karban, and they're all kind of just ancillary, so then it can affect Temura. Period. That's the Gemara's question, and that's what the Gemara says we're going to leave unresolved. Okay, Tashma. Okay, again.
Huh?
No conclusion from this. And again, there are two. I mean, the big question of today, which will be the question until the end of the whole sugya, is how do we categorize the par of the Kohen Gadol? Is it a carbon yachid or is it a carbon shutfus? Carbon sibur seems to be like out of the discussion. Meaning, that's not even up for discussion anymore. But is it karban yachid or is it karban shutfus? Okay. And again, for our purposes, it's always better to say shutfus, because the whole question that engendered this discussion was chatas mesa. Right. So it's better to say that it's a shutfus, but that's what's on the table right now. Is it individual or is it shutfus? Now, another question, which the Gemara raised and doesn't have a solution for, is how are the other Kohanim receiving a kapara? Is it that they're partners in this karban? That's one option. Otherwise known that this karban is karban shutfus, or no, it's really karban yachid, and the Kohen Gadol is really the only one receiving kapara, and they are like ancillary pieces. Their kapara is all getting generated through the Kohen Gadol, but it's really the Kohen Gadol who is viewed as the mitkaper. He's the one getting atonement. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Again, what we're going to do now is as follows. We're going to go through a braisa. And again, the purpose of which is to try to make a determination as to whether the carbon of the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is a yachid or not a yachid. Is it a private carbon or not a private carbon? So Tashma, the braisa says, look, let's come. Chomer bezevach mi betmura, v'chomer betmura mi bezevach. Carbon, meaning just, I'm going to say the general concept of carbon. I'm going to say that. Although, as we'll see, we're actually going to be speaking about one particular carbon. Any guesses which one? In the context of our discussion, you should be able to guess. But carbon, we're going to compare karban to a tamura, and we're going to compare tamura to a karban. You see this method happening all the time in the Mishnayos, where we're going to note that in certain way, a karban is more stringent than the tamura, but in certain ways, the tamura is more stringent than the karban. So let's start from the karban to the tamura. So, chomer b'tamura mi b'zevach, chomer b'zevach, hasha zevach, noeg b'yachid, ki b'tzibur. Okay, the a karban. A karban in general can be both be given by an individual, or it can be given by a community. V'doch is a Shabbos v'esatuma. A karban can override Shabbos and Tumah. Now again, not every karban, we know that, but we talk about how a karban behaves, sometimes a karban can override Shabbos and Tumah. V'osa tamura. A karban can affect a tamura. It can create a tamura. You can have a derivative coming off the original karban. Masha'en came but tamura. Everything we just said regarding the karban is not true by the tamura. Meaning there is no tamura of a tzibur, which we've been saying throughout this morning. There is no, a tamura cannot override Shabbos or Yontif, and a tamura cannot create another derivative. There's no secondary derivative of a karban. Meaning a karban can affect one tamura, but that tamura cannot affect another tamura. Please wait. Give it a moment. Chomer b'tamura mi b'zevach. Now we're going to go the other direction. In certain regards, the tamura can be more stringent than the original. How so? Shetamura chala b'amam kavua. Number one, that the tamura can be affected even though it's a blemished animal, meaning that the Torah allows. Again, remember the whole discussion of tamura. The Torah doesn't want us to do it to begin with, but. If I try to exchange the kedusha of a karban onto another animal, and the second animal is a balmum kavua, it's a blemish, and it's not just a temporary blemish, it's a permanent blemish, the kedusha will take. This second animal now will have kedusha's karban, even though it's balmum kavua. So we're in an impossible situation where, it's a karban, I can't bring it. But the kedusha takes. Why? Because the Torah says so. The Torah says, bein ra la tov, bein tov la ra. And it's not redeemable. Meaning because there's Kedusha's Karban, and because the Kedusha's Karban is inserted, even if it's a Balmum Kavua, so that means that it has Kedusha's Aguf, which is non-redeemable. You cannot be poded. Then this is not true by a Karban. Meaning by the original Karban. If I have an animal with a blemish, it doesn't receive Kedusha's Aguf. If I have a karban and it gets a balmum, it gets a blemish, I can redeem it, so that now it could be used for I can eat it. Okay, so the hay zevach hechi dami. Now we're describing karban. Now are we describing the global general karban, or are we describing a particular karban? We're going to assume, and the Gemara is going to explain later on why we're going to make this assumption, that we're talking about a specific karban. So we're looking for a karban that overrides Shabbos, overrides Tuma, can affect Tamura, and is an individual. So hechidami, ilam diachim midachi Shabbos v'tuma. So if we're talking about anyone's individual karban, that doesn't override Shabbos and Tumah. And Ela did Sibor, but we're talking about, so therefore we're talking about a karban Sibor. So Miyos the Tamura, but a karban Sibor can't affect a Tamura. Ela lav depar. So we're looking for the singular karban that both is a karban Yachid, so that it can affect Tamura, and it can override Shabbos and Yantiv. So which karban are we talking about? The par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Perfect example. Dochis the Shabbos v'esatuma dekfilei zman. So it overrides the Shabbos because, as we discussed in yesterday's daf, because the Torah tells us what calendaric date to bring it on. Bring the par on the 10th day of Tishrei. And the osa tamura de karban yachidu. And it affects the tamura because it's a karban yachid. Okay. So once again, the purpose of yesterday's daf, which we're finishing up right now, is to try to establish the category of the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. If this brisa is in fact talking about the par, so this brisa again speaks to the idea that the par is a karban yachid, not a karban sibor. And it also answers the question that we just got done discussing, meaning who's getting the kapara of this animal. If we're saying now that the par can affect tamura, so then it's only the Kohen Gadol who's receiving a kapara from this animal. Right. So then how, right, if that's true, how are we going to answer the question that started this whole discussion? Right.
Sound like a good answer.
Well, no, the Gemara, I mean, the Gemara, right, correct, correct. Okay, point very well taken. I don't know. So, Amr of Sheshet's law, Be'elu Sha'aron. So, Sheshet says, well, you don't have to say it's talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol. It's the idol of the Kohen Gadol. Remember, we discussed in the beginning of this year today. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur brings two karbanas out of his own pocket. One is the par and the other is the idol. The par is the chatas, the idol is the nola. So, maybe the Bryce is discussing the idol. The aisle now is not a chatas, it's an ola. But again, it could be exactly what we just described. It can override Shabbos and Tumah, because the Torah tells us what date to bring it on. And it could affect Temura, because it's a carbon yachid. It's an individual carbon.
Well, that's
and, right, and correct. And then perfect. And then if this is correct, so then we're good. And then the par is not a carbon yachid. It's a carbon shud for us, and good. So, hachinami mistarbati, sakadacha, the par, Temura, the par, Shabbos, v'tumahu delo dachya, b'chol mikra, kreva. And the Gemara says, and it's such a better pshat, because to say it's talking about the aisle is fine, the aisle's an ola. To say it's talking about the par, that's really difficult. Because the par is a chatas. Now, what do we say? It can affect a tamura. And what are you going to do now with this tamura? You're going to offer it? You can't. It's a tamura of a carbon chatas. What are one of the five chatas that are put to death? Tamura's chatas. The tamura of a chatas. So you can't offer it. So what's the point of making a tamura if you can't even offer it? So tamura's chatas who? Tamura's chatas amesa azla. It's supposed to be put to death. It's so much better to say that the Bryce is talking about not the par, which is a chatas, but rather the isle, which is an ola. So lo lo lamparo. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can make the following argument. Maybe it is talking about the par, even though we really it's not in our best interest to say that. But maybe it is talking about the par. My tamura, shame tamura. Okay. So the Gemara is now going to make a suggestion, and this is where it gets a little bit tricky, but it's not so bad. We have two parts of the Braisa. The first part of the Braisa is, let's compare and let's see how the Zevach can be more stringent than the Temura, and then the Braisa goes in the other direction. How can Temura be more stringent than the Zevach? Now, when we talk about Zevach, we're talking about one specific carbon. Now, we're trying to identify it. So far, we have two candidates. It's either the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, or it's the aisle of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Those are our two candidates. The Gemara says it could be really to be talking about par. But then when we go to the other side of the equation, and we say the tamura, we're not talking about any specific tamura, we're just talking about the category of tamura. Categorically, how does tamura behave? It can apply to even a blemished animal, and it's non-redeemable. So the Gemara says, Yahachi zevach nami shem zevach. The Gemara says, well, hold on 1 second. Now you're not being fair. Meaning, on the tamura side of the equation, you're telling me that we're talking about the category of tamura. So why don't you say the same thing regarding zevach? Why are we talking about the category of zevach? Why do you think that we're talking about a specific animal? So the Gemara explains: Shem zevach lo ketani mimai. How do I know this? Midiktani chomer b'tamura she'atamura chal abamum kavua ve'ena yotze lechun ligazus v'leyave. Because when it comes to tamura, what were the two stringencies by tamura? Number one, it applies to a blemished animal, even if it's a permanent blemish. And two, it's not redeemable. Is that always not true by karban? No, sometimes it's true by karban. By zevach, it would be true that a karban will receive its kedusha even though it's blemished and even though it's a bamum. Now, either you could look ahead and see the answer, or think about it, or guess. Which carbon would apply even to a blemished animal, and which carbon is not redeemable? The answer is Bechor, and we'll throw in Meister Behemah for good measure, because it's true. V'isagadach amay zevach shem zevachu ha'ika Bechor Meister dechalen abamum kavua ve'ein yotzen l'chun ligazes ve'le'aved. So the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, so the Gemara says, look, we can't be talking about the category of carbon, because that which we said is not true by Temura. Or I should say, no, let me say it again. That which we said is true by Temura is also true by some karbanos. Notably, the firstborn animal, where you have no control what's coming out of the mother. What may it come out of the mother is a blemished animal. Is it going to have kedushas bechor? Answer is yes. Is it redeemable? Answer is no. And the same thing is true as Maisa Behema. Maisa Behema, it's arbitrary. 10 animals are coming out of the pen. I don't put them in any particular order. and I just simply count. And whatever the tenth animal is, doesn't matter if it's good or if it's bad, it's still going to have Kedushas Maisa Behema. And is it redeemable? And the answer again is going to be no. So what you see here is that you do have two karbanos which are much like Tamura. So when the Bryce is telling us, you know, what's true by Tamura is not true by Zevach, we can't be talking about every Zevach, because what is true by Tamura in some circumstances, Bechor Meis Behema, is also true by Zevach. It must be that the Bryce is talking about a particular karban. Well, we have to find the karban that has all the characteristics that the Bryce describes. It can affect Tamura, it's going to override Shabbos, it's going to override Tumah. So we're back to our two candidates. Either it's going to be the part of the Kohen Gadol, or it's going to be the aisle of the Kohen Gadol. It could be either one. Ela shem zevach lo ketani, umayshna tumura, shem tumura achasi. Zevach ika bechor v'ika meiser. The Gemara just simply wraps up the point. In other words, when it comes to the tumura, we could speak in categoric terms. Tumura always behaves in this manner. Always will be subject to the Kedusha, even if it has a blemish, and is always not redeemable. But when it comes to karban, it's some karbanos have those characteristics, so therefore we must be talking about a specific karban. So the Gemara says, okay, now Rav Sheshes. Remember, we had the Braisa comparing Zevach to Temura, and we're looking for the karban, which is both an individual karban, and is going to override Shabbos and Tumah. And so what was our candidate? The par. So the Gemara says to Rav Sheshes, you know, before you suggested it was a par, can I make an easier suggestion, a simpler suggestion? So the Gemara says, Ademukim la be'elo sha'aron, or the other suggestion was an aisle, right? Par of the Kohen Gadol or the aisle of the Kohen Gadol. But look, ma be'pesach, the dochis of Shabbos v'setumah, v'oset tumura, the karban yachidhu. So the Gemara says, what about the karban pesach? Isn't the karban pesach a perfect example of an individual karban, meaning you can have a sole proprietary over karban pesach? It's a lonely seder, admittedly. But if I want to, I can buy a sheep or a goat on my own and sit down and have karban pesach all by myself. And furthermore, it overrides Shabbos and overrides Tumah. So we were looking for the perfect candidate that the Braisa was describing. Isn't karban pesach the perfect candidate? So kasav ein shocht na pesach al yachid. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember back in Pesachim, we had a debate. It was a major debate amongst the Tanaim. And Rav Yehuda was of the opinion that one person cannot bring the Karban Pesach. Not because it's a lonely Karban Pesach, but because the Torah says so. In fact, Rashi over here brings down the Pasuk. Rashi says, lo sucha lezboch esa Pesach be'echad. Now, Stu knows the Chumash, and he knows that the Pasuk doesn't end there. But for our purposes, that's fine. That's enough. Meaning that Rav Yehuda, it's darshans. But the Rav Yehuda understands that one person cannot bring the Karban Pesach. It has to come as a partnership. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, the Karban Pesach is not a Karban Yachid, cannot be a Karban Yachid. So, okay, fine. V'nukma b'Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, okay. So Pesach Rishon is out of the question. What about Pesach Sheni? An individual could bring Pesach Sheni, and in fact, that's the whole reason why. In other words, it's because an individual was Tameh that he brings the Pesach Sheni, and it also is going to override Shabbos and Tumah. So the Gemara says, slow down. It's going to override Shabbos, but it's not going to override Tumah. So midachi Tumah, amalei Rav Huna, b'rei d'Rav Yeshua, l'Rav Avitana, ma'ishna Pesach dekarilei Karban Yachid, ma'ishna Chagiga. Midachi Tumah. It's not going to override Tumah. Meaning, as we'll see, the Gemara is going to develop this idea in just a moment. There is a thinking, an opinion in the Gemara that your Pesach Sheni cannot override Tumah, for reasons which we'll explain in just a moment. If that's true, so then that's why Pesach Sheni is also not going to be a candidate. So again, I'll explain later on, and I'll explain it better later on, hopefully, maybe. But in other words, again, we have a Braisa on Daf Nun Amud Beis. The Braisa is describing a Zevach, which overrides Shabbos and Tumah, and is a Karban Yachid. And what are we talking about? Like, which Karban is that? So, right now, the candidates are either the Isle of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Okay. The part of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, another excellent candidate. Not Pesach, according to the opinion who says that a Pesach cannot be brought by an individual. Okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And not Pesach Sheni, because Pesach Sheni, according to one opinion, is not going to override Tumah. Okay, so we're back to our only two candidates.
Why do we have to accept one opinion when the majority is not?
Right, so the Gemara is just simply saying Rav Sheshet didn't choose it because Rav Sheshet sides with Rav Yehuda. If you don't side with Rav Yehuda, so then Pesach would be a candidate. Amale Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Rava. Vitana Maishna Pesach Dekarele Karben Yachid or Maishna Chagi Dekarele Karben Sibur. Okay, now the Gemara is expecting us to go to remember what we discussed back on Daf Nun Amud Aleph, where there the Gemara had a discussion regarding what's a Karben Sibur versus what's a Karben Yachid. And it was a little bit strange, meaning the Pesach was referred to as a Karben Yachid, the Chagiga was referred to as a Karben Sibur. Now that's strange. Now first of all, what's what? So Karben Pesach we know, we've been discussing time and again. Chagiga, every Jew who makes it to Yerushalayim on the regal has to bring three Karbanos. An Ola, it's referred to as Ola Tri'iya, the Shlamim of the Karben Chagiga, and then there's also Shamei Simcha. When we get to Masechta Chagiga, we're going to discuss this at length in the beginning of the Masechta. Fine, but one of the Karbanos he has to bring is a Karben Chagiga. But that's not a Karben Sibur. That's not public money. We all dip into our pockets, we take money out, we buy a Karben Chagiga with our own money. We get to eat it, it's a Shlamim, but still, we pay for it. So why did the Braisa refer to that as a Karben Sibur? And then, before giving an answer, the Braisa also talked about the Karben Pesach and referred to the Karben Pesach as a Karben Yachid. Like, that's strange. I don't see the difference. In other words, they're basically both the same idea. A group of Jews in mass making pilgrimage to Jerusalem, all purchasing a carbon with their own money. So on one hand, you want to say it's communal because we're all together? Fine. But they're both communal. And if it's individual because we're all paying for it, so then both of them are individual. I don't understand the Gemara says a split. Why is Chagiga referred to as carbon Sibor? And why is Pesach referred to as Karben Yachid? So the Gemara says, look, they both come as an assembly. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know, when it comes to Karben Pesach, part of Karben Pesach is Pesach Sheni. And Pesach Sheni can be individual. So the Gemara says, okay, so but if that's true, then Pesach Sheni should be able to override Shabbos and Tumah. So the Gemara says, I'm on board. I'm fine with that. The Tanya will learn to Braisa. Pesach Sheni Dochas Shabbos Veino Dochas Tumah. Now the Tanakhama says that Karben Pesach is overriding Shabbos. Meaning, whenever the 14th day of Iyar falls, it may fall on a Shabbos. That's fine. I'll bring Pesach Sheni because the Torah demands it has to be brought on a certain calendaric date. But according to the Tanakhama, it's not going to override Tumah for reasons which we'll explain in just a moment. Rav Yehuda Omer Avdo Chesatuma. Rav Yehuda says no, it's going to override Tuma. So my time at the Tanakhama. So let's explore what's the thought process behind the Tanakhama. That means to say that here we are. You were not able to bring Karben Pesach and Pesach Rishon. Why? Because you were tummy. So now you get a second chance. Second chance in life. A month from now, 14th day of Iyar. Here you are in the base of Mikdash. You're about to bring your Karben Pesach, your Pesach Sheni, and your tummy. Tanakhama says it's unfortunate. But you're exempt. You can't bring it. So my time in Tanakhama, I'm alchem in May Tuma Dichiasa Viasa Betuma. So Rabbi Tanakhama makes a strong logical argument. You couldn't bring the Karben Pesach Rishon because you're Tame. Now you think you can bring Pesach Sheni if you're Tame? I mean, you were pushed off because you were Tame, and now you're Tame. You expect to take it again? Is it to be able to bring it again? Rabbi Yehuda Amlacha Amakra Kachoch Chukas Pesach Yasu Aso VeAfilo Betuma HaTorah Hechzira Alav Asoso Betahara Lo Zachi Yasu Betuma. And the argument behind Rabbi Yehuda is as follows: you know what the Pesach Sheni is? It's Pesach Rishon, right? Part two, meaning it's basically, I understand it's a second chance, but it's modeled after Pesach Rishon. Now, what's the story with Pesach Rishon? If the majority of the Jewish people are Tame, you bring the Karben Pesach in a state of Tuma. So by Pesach Sheni, we're going to say the same thing. Look, obviously it's better if you're Tahor, obviously, but if you're Tameh, it's okay. Much like the Jewish people could have brought in a state of Tumah for Pesach Rishon, again, albeit if the majority of the Jewish people are Tameh, for Pesach Sheni, same story. Pesach Sheni is Pesach Rishon, just a month later. Yeah, so I don't know the, right, I saw the question coming. Does that mean then that the majority of the Jewish people have to be tummy for Pesach Sheni? in order for a Pesach Sheni to be born on the day of Tumah, I understand that. In other words, dealing with the population of people who bring Pesach Sheni, meaning I'm not, don't base it on the entire Jewish population, but based on the number of people who actually bring Pesach Sheni. I'm not sure. I'm unclear. No, it's not a carbon tzibur, it's a carbon yachid. Okay, I'm not sure. The question's good, and I don't know. Top of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the typically. I didn't make that point. That's a good question, and that point could have been clarified. Chagiga, is it calendarically based? The answer is yes, but it's not a firm calendaric date. Because if you don't bring your carbon chagiga on the first day of Yantav, that's the optimal time to bring it, so then you can bring it on day 2 through day 7. Meaning there are 7 days of Tashlumim. So the Chagiga does not override Shabbos and Tumah because it doesn't have a firm, singular date on the calendar. Okay, and that's something I should have mentioned earlier.
The person who brings Pesach Sheni has to bring Chagiga also, or just Pesach Sheni?
No, just Pesach Sheni. No, there's no... The second chance is for the Pesach Sheni, is for the Karm Pesach.
There's no second chance for Chagiga.
Correct. Okay. And now, the Gemara is going to wrap up our entire discussion. Okay, it's been a long discussion. It's been, in Daf Yomi terminology, it's pretty long. It's been yesterday, it's been today. You can even count a little bit of Daf Mem Test if you want in it as well. What category do we put the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Do we put it under the category of Karban Yachid? Or do we put it under the category of, I was going to say Karban Tzibur, but now we know more. Is it a Shutfus? Is it a partnership? So the Gemara says, V'tepukle. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning this whole discussion that we've had, can't we just simply follow the money? Meaning doesn't the money speak to what kind of carbon it is? Asher lo amachrana mishalo hu mevi. The Torah says, Asher lo. It's his. And how many times does the Torah say it? It says it on 3 occasions. You go through the beginning of Parshas Achrimos, and you'll see that every time the Torah says the words, every time the Torah mentions the par, it says Asher lo. And in fact, in one of the Pesukim, it actually says it twice. 3 times the Torah says it has to be his, and he cannot tap into communal money. Is it Tanya Asher Lo Mishalohu Mevi Velo Mishal Tzibur? Number 1, he has to be from his own money. He cannot be from communal funds. He doesn't take from the shekel. And Yachalo Yavi Mishal Tzibur Shein Tzibur Miskaprim Bo Avah Yavi Mishal Achav Akonim Shari Achav Akonim Miskaprim Bo. I might have thought, fine, he can't tap into public money, but get a collection from the Kohanim, meaning let him go around for the Kohanim, and you know it's a. Do me a favor. Donate. You're getting a kapara from this anyway, so donate. So Tamalama Asher Lo. So the Torah says the second time it's his. Meaning no. He can't even make a collection from the Kohanim. Yechulo Yaviv Yemehevi Kasher. Now the Gemara says, okay, but that's a lechatchila din. But not b'diavad. Not if after the fact, after the collection, he goes and he buys it. Okay, so not the best thing, but does it work? Tamalama Shuv Asher Lo. It says the third time Asher Lo. Shina hakasov la'akev. So the Gemara says, we know that when the Torah is repeating itself, that means that not even b'di'evit, meaning it does not, it simply does not work. The carbon of the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to and only can come from the money, the pocket of the Kohen Gadol. So, to the question of who's the what kind of carbon is this? Is it carbon yachid or carbon shutfus? I mean, isn't the money say it all? It has to come from the pocket of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, you're right, but then let me ask you another very simple question. How do all the other Kohanim receive a kapara from this carbon? Meaning, if you want to call this a carbon yachid, and the sole proprietor of the carbon is the Kohen Gadol, to the exclusion of all other Kohanim, so then how are they getting a kapara? And we know they're getting a kapara. The Torah says they're getting a kapara. The vidui of the Kohen Gadol speaks to the idea that they're getting a kapara. So how are they getting a kapara? Elashani beGaza de Aaron, de Afkare Rechman Agabe Echava Kohanim. What the Torah therefore must be doing is it must be, the Torah must be creating a hefkeris. Hefkeris over here basically means ownerless. In this context, it means that the Kohen Gadol's, although it's coming out of his pocket, but then what the Torah is doing is the Torah is distributing, Torah is sharing the wealth. Huh?
Can he do that?
Yeah, right. Right. So a Kenyan is an. I mean, it's done automatically. So right, he's not doing anything. Okay, and Kenyanim on Shabbos and Yontif is an Issa D'Rabbanan, an Issa D'Oraisa. Okay, But hachi gabi tamor nami shani begazad aron dafka rechman gabi echav akonim. So the begazad aron dafka rechman gabi echav akonim. So hachi gabi tamor nami shani begazad aron dafka rechman gabi aron. I'm sorry, echav akonim. And the Gemara says, and then we'll have to say the same thing vis-a-vis tamura, meaning our discussion was regarding the tamura. Right? Who is the miskaper? Who is receiving the kapara? So the Gemara says the same thing, meaning that the Kohanim are receiving a kapara, and therefore, can we affect tamura with the par? Answer of the Gemara is no. No, because it is a shared karban. It's not a single karban. The Kohanim are receiving a kapara. Okay.
The bottom line is that you don't follow the money. Correct.
Well, the bottom line, I mean, no. First of all, I mean, you're right, but in other words, the money has to come from the Kohen Gadol. I mean, that's...
But in terms of
now, who is the beneficiary of the Karban? So the Gemara's conclusion, it seems like, is that it's a shutfus, it's a partnership, all the Kohanim receiving a Kapara, it's a forced shared distribution of the par that is bought by the Kohen, but shared by all the other Kohanim, And the Torah is doing the allocation. But yes, they're all benefiting from it. So A, now in terms of our conclusion regarding the par, is it Karban Yachid or is it Shudfus? Sounds like from the conclusion of the Gemara, it's Shudfus. Vis-a-vis Tamura, can the Kohen Gadol affect Tamura with this Karban? The answer is going to be no. Right? Categorically, the answer is going to be no because it's not a Karban Yachid. Okay, Adkan. All right, let's go a little bit further. We have more to do, and we have a little bit more time. So let's just cover the Mishnah. Let's just cover the first discussion of the Gemara. Okay. Kohen Gadol now is making his walk, right? Do we have a picture now of what the Kohen Gadol has in his hands? So as we discussed in the beginning of the fifth parak of Yuma, this is now the second Mishnah of the parak. So in the first Mishnah, we described how he picked up the shovel full of coal, put down his right hand. He took the calf of Ketores, the spoon of Ketores he has on his left hand, and now he's going to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And this is going to be the only time in the year where a person is going to be walking into Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's going to be walking now through the Heichal, right, into the Heichal, through the Heichal, and he's going to wind his way into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, I say wind his way, because as the Mishnah over here assumes we know, is that there are two curtains partitioning between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishnah describes how he's going to go through these two curtains. There's going to be an opening on one side, and to the side of the Heichal, it's going to be on the southern side, and there's an opening to the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the north side. So he's going to enter into the south side, walk through the curtains, in other words, he's going to be walking northbound, then he's going to be making a left turn, and then opening up into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishnah says, he would walk to the double parochis, the distance between them, between the two, is an ama. So it's thin. It's a narrow walk that he has to walk between the two curtains. Even at the most, we'll put it at 2 feet. In other words, it's a two foot space. At its widest. So Rabbi Yossi Amar Lo Aisosham Ela Paroches Achas Belvad. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says that there was only one paroches. Again, one of those strange machlokesim in the Mishnah, which we're debating in terms of what the actual structure of the Beis Hamikdash was. I mean, these are Tanayim. Rabbi Yossi certainly is a Tana who lived after the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar v'hivdulo paroches lachem bein hakodesh bein kodesh kadashim. The Gemara. The Torah in Parshas Truma describes the paroches, that's going to be separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, and the first discussion which we're going to quickly cover in the Gemara is, Shapi Kamalu Rav Yossi L'Rabbanan. Rav Yossi makes an excellent point. How could you say there's a double curtain separating the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim when the Torah describes in Parshas Truma how there's one paroches? Arme Lecha Hanimila B'Mishkan. So the Tanakhama will say to Rabbi Yossi, you're right, but you're limited. Meaning the Torah was only describing the Mishkan. And let's even extend it. Let's even say the Bais Rishon. Right. However, Avah B'Mikdash Sheni, Kevin Delo Havi HaMatraksin. So, but when it comes to the Mikdash Sheni, the Second Temple, so there was no HaMatraksin. There was no wall that was an Amathik. Uve Mikdash Rishon Hu Dehavai. In the first Beis HaMikdash, it was there. And now that one amma thickness separating the kosher and the kodesh and the kodesh kadashim, meaning for the second base of mikdash, it wasn't going to be there for structural reasons, reasons which I'll explain at the beginning of tomorrow's daf. It wasn't there, and the chachamim did not know what status did that one amma have. What did it have? The status of heichal, or did it have status of kodesh kadashim? And the Chachamim didn't know. So therefore what they did is they basically marked off the areas so that I'll put a curtain on one side of the Amma, I'll put a curtain on the other side of the Amma, so that area in between, that Suffolk area, now will be filled in with those two curtains. And so therefore we won't have to, we'll never cross the boundary that we shouldn't cross. Okay, why wasn't there this wall, this one amma thick wall in the second base of Mikdash? I'll begin tomorrow giving a description and an explanation of why that is. We'll stop over here.